Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Have you ever had anyone to ask you, "What must I do to be saved?" Did you ever think of saying to that person, "It all depends"? That answer is not intended to be evasive. But what a person must do to be saved depends on where he is in his spiritual pilgrimage. If he has heard the gospel, but has never made any commitment to Jesus Christ, he must believe in Christ as the Son of God. That was the initial step of every person whose conversion is recorded in the book of Acts. Oh, I know that sometimes belief is not specifically mentioned in some of the conversions, but there is no doubt of its existence in every conversion. For example, Peter did not tell the Jews on Pentecost what Paul told the Philippian jailer: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved in your house." Acts 16:31. Why did he not say to the people on Pentecost what Paul said to the Philippian jailer? The reason ought to be obvious to all Bible students. The Jews on Pentecost already believed on the Lord Jesus, or they would not have asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts 2:37. It is a matter of great confusion when some religious leaders argue that once one has believed, there is nothing more he needs to do to be saved. Is that what Paul meant when he instructed the Philippian jailer to believe on the Lord Jesus? If it is, why did Paul and Silas take the jailer and members of his household and baptize them immediately? If they were saved by grace alone through faith alone, they did not need to be baptized. But those who believed the gospel were commanded to obey the Lord in baptism. Ananias said to Saul, a penitent believer, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. Tragically and inexplicably, some men who call themselves gospel preachers deny any connection between baptism and salvation. One preacher recently said on one of the television stations in Nashville that baptism does not save. Jesus saves. Who has ever denied that Jesus saves? But how does he save? The Apostle Peter provides the divinely inspired answer. "The like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us." Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:21. But is not salvation in this passage figurative? If we are figuratively saved by baptism, are we figuratively lost if we refuse to be baptized? Jesus saves us in the manner he prescribes. Will you please listen to what he said? "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned." Mark 16:16. But what if one has been baptized and gone back into the world? What must such a person do to be saved? The Calvinists teach that a man cannot lose his salvation regardless of what he does. He may slip and fall, but he cannot fall away. Is it not strange that such doctrines can arise when an inspired writer warns, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Hebrews 3:12. My friend, do you have any idea what the word "departing" in this verse means? The Greek word is apostanai, which comes into English in our word apostatize. The one who apostatizes must repent of the wrongs he has done. He must ask God to forgive him and determine with God's help that he is going to live according to God's word. My friend, your salvation depends on the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also depends on your obedience to his word. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.